The following KOPN podcast is made possible by the generous donations of listeners like you. Please consider a donation to listener-supported community radio, KOPN. You can donate securely on our website at kopn.org.
To another edition of Thought Crime Radio. Today we're going to have a conference among friends of mine, Patricia, my co-host, and Kurt, who is in the studio with me. Patricia is in Oregon. Patricia, can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. So we thought we'd sort of wing it today and just talk about current events and... So I thought I'd cover some headlines, and you guys, Kurt, can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right. That's good, because you're right across the room from me. Thank God for electronics.
Hi, Kurt.
Hi.
So I thought I'd read some headlines here that... actually, the first thing I wanted to touch on was is not really news. It's old news. But it's still not widely known in the United States for some reason. There was a trial in Memphis, Tennessee in 1999 dealing with the factual evidence surrounding the murder of Martin Luther King in the 60s. And this was really the first independent investigation of the circumstances of that assassination. And if you go to the website of the King family called thekingcenter.org, you can find the transcript of this trial, as well as the King family's reaction to its outcome. And let me just read some excerpts here, and I think it'll blow many people's minds that are not aware of this. On behalf of the King family, today, on behalf of the family of Martin Luther King III, today issued the following statement on the U.S. Justice Department's release of its report on their limited investigation of recent evidence regarding the assassination of Dr. King. We initially requested a comprehensive investigation be conducted by a Truth and Reconciliation Commission independent of the government because we do not believe in such a politically sensitive matter the government is capable of investigating itself. The type of independent investigation we sought was denied by the federal government, but in our view, it was carried out in a Memphis courtroom during a month-long trial by a jury of 12 American citizens who had no interest other than ascertaining the truth. King versus Jowers, J-O-W-E-R-S. After hearing and reviewing the extensive testimony and evidence, which had never before been tested under oath in a court of law, it took the Memphis jury only 1.5 hours to find that a conspiracy to kill Dr. King did exist. Most significantly, the conspiracy involved agents of the governments of the city of Memphis, the state of Tennessee, and the United States of America. The overwhelming weight of the evidence also indicated that James Earl Ray was not the trigger man and, in fact, was an unknowing patsy. We stand by that verdict and have no doubt that the truth about this terrible event has finally been revealed. So, that's very interesting, isn't it? I wonder why you don't
that's
read...
That's very interesting.
I wonder why you don't read about that in a newspaper.
You're not going to do that on mainstream media.
Yeah. I'll put a link to this press release online here. Also, I was scanning through a blog dealing with Obama's book "Dreams of My Father," where he states. It says here. In Jakarta in the 1960s, Barack Obama noticed his stepfather's great unease and silence about his one-year military service in New Guinea. Papua New Guinea was invaded by Indonesia in the 60s, not long after the military coup that was fostered by the United States, in which hundreds of thousands of ethnic Chinese were murdered under the reign of the dictator Suharto. In this book, Obama asked his stepfather, who had served in this campaign, "Have you ever seen a man killed?" And it says here, Lolo, his father, was surprised by the question. He said, "Yes." "Was it bloody?" "Yes." Obama thought for a moment, "Why was the man killed?" Lolo answered, "Because he was weak. That's usually enough. Men take advantage of weakness in other men. They're just like countries in that way. The strong man takes the weak man's land. He makes the weak man work in the field. If the weak man's woman is pretty, the strong man will take her." And Lolo paused and asked his young stepson, "Which would you rather be?" Obama didn't answer, but Lolo answered, "It's better to be strong." So, this is very interesting. His father was apparently involved in this massacre. And now we see that Obama has lifted the ban on military training of Indonesian troops. This happened just last week. So I guess that's our answer, which side Obama has decided to throw his lot with. So, it also, elsewhere in the book, apparently it states that his father was very even-tempered, sort of a smooth talker, not unlike Obama. And, you know, this, who knows what kind of a man this really was. I mean, people are drafted into the army all the time, but usually after a few years after they come back, they realize that they were used and exploited, and that the their so-called military service was just an excuse to use them in pursuit of imperial objectives by the ruling elites. Anyway. By the way, the WikiLeaks story today, or over the weekend, WikiLeaks states that in the secret documents that they released, the U.S. intelligence believes that Pakistan's ISI is training and financing the Afghan Taliban. But this is like saying the CIA is doing this, because the ISI was founded by the CIA and you know, largely takes its marching orders from them. It's doubtful whether anything that happens in the ISI happens without the coordination of the CIA. And you know, war is a great racket. Smedley Butler said that many years ago, and I don't think anything has changed in that respect. Getting back to warmongering and the war on terror, I wanted to play a short excerpt from the from a BBC radio interview of a guy named Peter Power. Peter Power ran a consulting firm in London, which consults in crisis management, and he gave this interview on 7/7/2005, the very day of the London bombings that basically comprised Great Britain's 9/11. Let me just play this.
The thing that concerns me is that what are we doing for the thousands of men and women actually who are in London working? And I say that because at 9:30 this morning we were actually running an exercise for over a company of 1,000 people in London based on simultaneous bombs going off precisely at the railway stations that happened this morning. So I still have the hairs on the back of my neck standing upright.
If you get this quite straight, you were running an exercise to see how you would cope with this, and it happened while you were running the exercise.
Precisely. And it was about 9:30 this morning. We planned this for a company, and for obvious reasons I don't want to reveal their name, but they're listening, they'll know it. And we had a room full of crisis managers for the first time they met. And so within 5 minutes we made a pretty rapid decision. This is the real one. And so we went through the correct drills of activating crisis management procedures to jump from slow time to quick time thinking, yes, and so on.
That's all.
What is the probability that that this this type of event would happen on the very day at the very locations in which they were conducting this crisis management exercise? This begs credulity. And let's see.
Isn't that what happened on 9/11 too?
Yeah.
Wasn't there an exercise going on?
Oh, there were a number of exercises, one of which did involve flying planes into skyscrapers. Also FEMA, a FEMA representative stated, and I need to dig this up, it's on the net, that they had arrived in New York the night before.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. Mm. Things are not as they seem, are they? Can't take anything for granted. By the way, there is a link also that I will post dealing with a alleged Al-Qaeda video that was released back in August of 2007 by a group called the Intel Center, which has very close ties to the U.S. Pentagon. It's full of ex-military types and intelligence types. And they released this video, which they claim to have found on a blog on the web. Allegedly, it came from Al-Qaeda. Well, I guess it probably did come from Al-Qaeda, but Al-Qaeda, of course, is not a group of cave-dwelling Muslim extremists. The thing is, this video that Intel Center released to the web was analyzed by a computer expert, someone who had written a program to analyze just these types of things for you know, photoshopping and this kind of thing. He analyzed this video that had been released by the Intel Center and discovered that that there were two superimposed bits of text or symbols superimposed on top of this. Superimposed on this video, one was the logo of Al-Qaeda. Apparently Al-Qaeda has their own corporate logo. And the other was the Intel Center. What's interesting is that both of these bits of superimposition were done by the same Photoshop session. They were both added to the video at the same time, in the same editing session. So either Intel Center is working for Al-Qaeda, or Al-Qaeda is working for the Intel Center, or maybe Al-Qaeda has infiltrated the Intel Center, or, you know.
They both work for the Bilderberg Group.
Yes, I think that's probably the most likely explanation. Oh, my.
Anything on the horizon?
Yes, actually there is a false flag operation on the horizon, because there's lots of indications that Iran is going to be attacked soon. And so we know what that means. That means that they need to drum up public support for an attack on Iran, because it does not exist at this point.
However, and what's a false flag?
Well, a false flag is just a terrorist attack that is blamed on someone other than who actually did it. You know.
So are there other examples?
Of course, 9/11.
But like anything else in history that...
Yes, this show several weeks ago covered the Oklahoma City bombing, which was a false flag operation that was falsely attributed to right-wing militia types, when it was actually apparently coordinated by the FBI. We also covered briefly the fact that the person who supplied the explosives in the World Trade Center bombing in 1993 was an FBI informant who he was told by his FBI handler to use real explosives instead of fake powder over his own objections. So this was a directive coming from the actual FBI agent in charge of this informant, told him to use actual explosives, and what, six people died in that thing.
Mm-hmm. But those examples didn't lead to attack, like when we went into Iraq.
They led mm-hmm. into the beginnings of the war on terror, because they paved the way for Clinton's Anti-Terrorism and Effective Death Penalty Act.
What about other wars? Were any other wars started with false flag operations that we were involved in?
I'm not sure if you'd call it a false flag, but there were staged events that led into both World War I and World War II. Staged in the sense that the Lusitania was sunk by a German U-boat, but the Germans, the Americans and or British, made sure that the Germans knew that the Lusitania was not just a passenger liner, that it actually contained ammunition, in violation of the U.S. treaty, neutrality treaty that they had with Germany. So they deliberately loaded up this passenger liner with ammunition in violation of the treaty, and then they made sure that the Germans knew what they were doing. And the Germans actually took out an ad in a number of newspapers. The New York Post, I think, was one of them, and another one in Chicago, stating, you know, warning Americans, don't take this boat because it's going to be a fair target. And then Pearl Harbor. There's lots of evidence that the U.S. knew that the Japanese were on the way and decided to allow them to bomb Pearl Harbor in order to create public support for...
Yeah, a big glaring example, though, is Vietnam and the Gulf of Tonkin, because the government the government of the United States has admitted that that was a false flag operation that started the war.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, intelligence releases, declassified documents now show that even the Congress knew that Gulf of Tonkin was a state was never actually happened. That it was a creation of intelligence agencies. So that what, 58,000 Americans died and like 3 million Vietnamese. And there's never any accountability. There's a group of people in this country who are above the law. We have our own aristocrat class, and these are the same people that are arranging for the collapse of the economy.
Right. You have to wonder how the American people have gotten so brainwashed that everybody goes along with that so passively. And I'm wondering, Patricia, I understand you do therapy to bring people out of a trance state. And it seems like
right.
our country is kind of in a trance state. How do you do that with
Absolutely.
Individuals?
Well, you locate the origin of the whatever it is. So, you know, if you you might just say it's a trance. So, what is the origin of this trance?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then their inner wisdom, their subconscious mind, locates the origin of it, and when they see what was going on at that point, then it pulls them out of the trance. They no longer have to be at the effect of it. So I think that's why I think that the really most important thing that we can do as patriots is to educate people. And what I'm noticing is that although Obama promised transparency, that's not happening, and it never has happened for many years. And that's why he promised it, because everybody was saying, well, wait a minute, we want to know what's really going on here. So I think that if there was transparency, and if everybody knew exactly what was going on in the government and why things were the way they were, then it wouldn't be the way that it is anymore. Because it would be out on the table, it would be in the open, and it would just be a clean, clear, operation of why we're doing what we're doing. And people might disagree, but, you know, it wouldn't be like manipulation and arm twisting and propaganda and things like that, public relations, whatever they call that. But it's still very hidden, and that's why this WikiLeaks person, Justin, is so threatening to the status quo, is because he's saying, you know, things should not be secrets. They should be in the open. And I totally agree. I would love to see everything that's ever been put under wraps just taken out. I mean, I think that when they say it's for national security, that there's so many secrets, I think a big part of what they mean is, if you knew what we have done to the American people, which is what George H.W. Bush said to an interviewer once, then if the American people knew what we had done to, you know, to them, they would chase us down the streets and hang us from a light pole, you know, because we have been deceived and we've been misled and we've been involved in things that we never would give our permission to. And it's cost us many, many lives and many resources and lots of money. And, you know, we really do need transparency.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Obama is actually waging a war on whistleblowers. He's even worse than Bush was in that respect. Here's another little bit about the war on terror. In the Guardian of UK, the London Guardian of 2005 in July, they came out with an article written by Robin Cook, the former foreign minister of Great Britain. He says in this article, he says, quote, Al-Qaeda, literally, quote, the database, unquote, was originally the computer file of the thousands of mujahideen who were recruited and trained with help from the CIA to defeat the Russians in Afghanistan. Now, what kind of a revolutionary, you know, insurgent group would name itself the database, you know? This is ridiculous. They were named by bureaucrats, obviously. Bureaucrats who administer them. Now, You know, this sort of narrows things down. If Robin Cook can say that Al-Qaeda means the database, and it originated from this computer file, my guess is that Al-Qaeda is, you know, well, we knew all along, though, that they were a creation of Western intelligence. So, you know, we're chasing down ghosts in distant lands in order to increase the income of the people who run things behind the scenes, the people who control politicians and are responsible for the fact that nothing ever changes in Washington, no matter who we elect.
Right. We need transparency. And I really appreciate those people who are telling us, you know, what really has gone on, so that we can start seeing more clearly. I really appreciate that.
Yeah. I would like to play a short PSA. Just get it out of the way here. And we will be right back.
All 18-year-old men in the U.S. are required to register for the military draft. There's currently no draft, but one could be enacted as military recruitment goals continue to be unmet. A draft most certainly would include young women as well. The Mid-Missouri Fellowship of Reconciliation provides counseling to help people prepare a conscientious objector claim to do alternative service if someone is drafted. Counselors also discuss, from a pacifist perspective, other concerns about being in the military. Information is available from Jeff at 573-449-4585 and online at for.missouri.org.
So we're back. Would you like to talk about slavery? Anybody want to talk about slavery?
Yeah, I have. You mentioned Martin Luther King earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a quote from a speech he made in August of 1967. Quote, "As long as the mind is enslaved, the body can never be free. Psychological freedom, a firm sense of self-esteem, is the most powerful weapon against the long night of physical slavery." Unquote.
So how are we being enslaved today? There are so many mechanisms. You know, one obvious mechanism of enslavement is just lying to us and telling us that Middle Eastern terrorists are at our door and waiting to kill us unless we mount vast resources and chase them around on the other side of the world. But there are more
keeping
subtle...
Keeping us in the dark.
Say again?
Keeping us in the dark.
Yes, keeping us in the dark.
Like, they know, but we don't know, or something.
Right, trust us, we're the government.
We're too stupid.
But there are more subtle ways of manipulating human behavior. Well, subtle on one level and blatant on another, like circumcision, for instance. Circumcision can certainly be seen as a traumatic experience for the child, which alienates him from his mother and family, sows the seeds of distrust and alienation, and ultimately throws up a roadblock between him and his future lovers through sensory deprivation. And you know, we know that sensory deprivation is actually a form of torture. And so this is a very interesting phenomenon. We have about 75% of the men in this country are walking around being tortured right now. They know that something is wrong, or maybe they accepted it at this point, but nevertheless, some part of their neural net in their brain is being deprived of input, and they're suffering as a result. And in prison, you know, they use solitary confinement as a punishment, and that causes, you know, one of the worst aspects of solitary confinement is social isolation, and that's precisely the type of thing that circumcision causes, is social emotional isolation too.
You know, it does, because it just makes, well, I don't know how many people who are listening remember or tuned in, I think it was in December when I was on the show the first time, I wrote a book called The Rape of Innocence, Female Genital Mutilation and Circumcision in the United States of America, because about 10 or so years ago I realized that I'd been circumcised. And I had a pattern of being a very angry person at that point, you know, just playing conversations over in my head, like, oh, no, you know, if you hadn't done this and if you just would do that, you know. It was really, really awful for all those years that I'd been in that state. And like Kirk said, you know, like, how do you dehypnotize somebody? How do you get them out of the trance? Well, you find out what happened. So when I found out what had happened and I could start releasing the fear around it, then my life completely changed. And, you know, I became a much more peaceful person, much happier. And yet still, I don't trust people, because at that point, a woman and a man both had betrayed me in my eyes as a child. So I'm still working on, you know, reclaiming my ability to trust people. So, you know, consequently, I don't interact with very many people, and I never did. I completely rejected women for many years. And I'm sure now that it had to do something with the circumcision, because there's a woman in my town who is a professor at the University of Oregon who wrote a book called Betrayal Trauma, and it applies very much to my case of circumcision, and I have a feeling it applies to millions and millions and millions and millions of men in this country, and quite a few women, too. I was talking to someone the other week, and they said that they went to a gynecologist, and he was shocked, because he said, you have a hooded clitoris, as if that was a very rare thing. And when I went to confirm whether I had a clitoris or not, the guy said, you know, the doctor said, oh no, many women have a teeny tiny microscopic little clitoris. Now, that is not normal. It is not normal for people to not have a hood and not to have a clitoris. So apparently a lot more women were circumcised than we probably will ever know, because if they're like me, they just don't even look, because they were taught not to. They were taught not to touch themselves and not to pay any attention to that area of their body. So, you know, men are also taught not to think about it, not to dwell on it. It's a shameful kind of thing. If you are upset about it, you know, a psychologist will tell you, get over it. They will not treat you.
You have problems.
They will not actually talk to you about it.
You have emotional problems, but we know what to do with it. We can help you.
So, and what we know what you should do about it is just accept it, because after all, we were circumcised and we're okay with it, you know, because the whole culture, the male part at least, has been circumcised. Very few people say that to me. Some have. And when they do, I know they have an agenda, which is to shut me up. So, but I'm not very good at being shut up, you know. I'm not very good at being intimidated. I just tell them, you know, that I understand what they're trying to do, which is to shut me up. I'm sorry, Rich, what were you saying?
No, I was just going to say, it's interesting the parallels between this kind of Munchausen medicine and the shock doctrine, you know, the idea of experts coming in and creating a crisis in order to market their services as a remedy.
Yeah.
And this is going on.
A crisis where there is none.
Yeah, this is going on in obstetrics. It's going on in psychiatry, as the guest from the last week's show. If you missed that interview, the podcast is online at thoughtcrimeradio.blogspot.com, talking about how psychiatric quacks, you know, academicians who claim to be public servants, I guess, taking a public paycheck, are getting millions of dollars under the table from pharmaceutical companies, and this is leading to the mass drugging of American children for no good reason. And then, of course, there are economics, Munchausen economics. You know, there's virtually every social institution in this country has now been exposed as being fundamentally, you know, every last bastion of respectability has been shown to be fundamentally corrupt. Everything from medicine to banking to the Catholic Church, you know, they've all proven themselves unworthy of trust, and most people have not caught on to this fact yet.
All of our gods have clay feet.
Yes, right. We're waiting for the waves to dissolve them away.
Yeah. Please.
Let me...
But please, you know...
Go ahead.
I just want transparency. I really do. I think that transparency is the answer to it all. Just when we know exactly what is going on, including, you know, who's behind it, you know, like, and why. I think that if it's true, you know, what I have discovered is that behind it all is fear. It's definitely not love. The idea that you have to control anything is a thought fear, you know, a thought of fear. So if you can find out exactly what it is that's going on and you just see that it's based on fear, then of course people are just going to want to let it go, you know. Even the people who are in charge of all this, they don't want to just, you know, be doing things out of fear. So I think that that's really the answer. And yet, you know, it's been going on for so long that there's a lot of fear around transparency. If there was a real legitimate thing running this planet, there would be no fear. It would just be open and honest, and everybody would be happy with it. It's all the, you know, manipulation and all the secrets that really make it so bad for everyone.
Well, the media is being controlled by a relatively small number of people. A man named Walter Lippmann came up with the phrase "the manufacture of belief" to promote the idea that media is an effective means of population control. There's a website called StopBigMedia.com that points out that six big corporations now control most of our news: General Electric, Walt Disney, News Corp, Time Warner, Viacom, and CBS. And, you know, these groups create a false model of reality, and every individual is challenged to either passively accept it or challenge it, you know. And either way, you're kind of a victim of the great big lie that's being sold to all of us.
Well, aren't we fortunate to have the internet?
Well, it may not last much longer.
We can start finding out these things, you know.
The internet may not last much longer, and that's why I recommend to the listeners they need to really get out of their rut. If they want to follow the news and actually dig for what's happening in the world, they need to diversify their news income, news inputs, because there is lots of, you know, even if you consider yourself a leftist, I consider myself a leftist, but I also listen to Alex Jones and look at his websites. He's not bashful about false flag terror. He's definitely on top of this issue, and he's brought out a great many scoops that were never covered on Democracy Now. And it's also, he has access to news sources that Amy Goodman would not have access to. People who are in the military, for instance, would be far more likely to talk to a right-wing radio person than a left wing. You know, this guy is sincere. I don't agree with some of what he says, but I certainly agree that this country is under a great deal of danger from the people who run the economy. Speaking of the economy, do you want to talk about the Federal Reserve System?
Yeah, before we leave the idea of media, I'd like to mention that there's a new thing happening in Iceland. I think it's called the IMMI. I think that stands for Iceland Modern Media Institute or something like that. And so they are also really pushing for and moving toward transparency, 100% transparency, protecting whistleblowers and journalists from all over the world. So I loved hearing that. I thought that was really beautiful. So I'm sorry, Rich, your turn.
No, I was just...
Didn't mean to interrupt you, but...
I agree totally. What has happened to the Congress in this country? Why is Claire McCaskill not, as far as I can tell, she's not lifting her finger to protect some of these whistleblowers that have been coming out and talking about criminality in high places in Washington, mm-hmm. You know?
We need transparency so badly, so badly. And, you know, I think that perhaps people are afraid that if there's transparency, then there would be punishment. I think what we need to do is take the stance of healing and removing the fear, releasing the fear and letting it go. And then it would not be a bad thing for all this to come out, but then everybody could be relieved of tons of fear that they've been carrying probably their entire lives. And then the world would just be a much more fun place for everyone, even the most fearful, naughty people in the whole world. They could get back to a space of love rather than just carrying all that fear around.
It sounds like you're talking about a reconciliation commission.
Well, I don't think that it's going to shift a lot if there's a big push toward punishment. I think that's the problem that stands between us and getting rid of circumcision, because doctors are afraid that they're going to suffer a huge backlash if people start filing suits and like, you know, the guy from, who was it who was, David Reimer. What was that book? As Nature Made Him or something. You know, he took a gun, actually, to the man's office who had circumcised him, and the man started crying, and so, you know, David just left. He did not hurt him. But he was so angry, you know, after he found out that he was actually a boy and had been raised all those years as a girl. So when everything is transparent, then, and people know how to do healing, real healing of releasing the fear and getting out of the trance, then I think the whole world will be a very different place, much, much better. Because some of these fears have origins that are centuries old, and they didn't really originate with the people who are now acting them out, but they originated with their ancestors a long time ago, you know, and we just all need to get out of that trance of fear.
You wrote a book called Knowledge, which is about spirituality. How essential do you think spirituality is to the fear that's driving this New World Order nonsense?
Well, if there is a power called love, and if there is this other thing called fear, which is, in my mind, the absence of the awareness of love's presence, then it's essential that people get out of fear so that they can feel the love again. And when they feel that love, that is the direct connection to the source of all life, you know. So it doesn't have to go to the stage of religion at all. It just has to stay in that state of pure love. And that is the source of all religions, but, you know, a lot of religions have kind of lost touch with it. So if people can just get back to feeling the love inside of their hearts, then they will have accomplished what they're here to accomplish, which is to let go of fear and to get back into love. It's actually very simple. It just, you know, is a matter of releasing all the tension in your body, because the body is the subconscious, and it carries all the fear from all the, you know, years that we've been on the planet and even before. So if you can just get in touch with any little tension or tightness in your body, and then just be at peace and let yourself breathe and be aware that there's something there that's not comfortable, but the more you breathe, the more comfortable it will become. Just as if you are practicing yoga and you're in a posture that's uncomfortable at first, but after you maintain it for a little while and you breathe as you are holding that posture, then pretty soon it's okay there. And then the next time you take that posture, you can go even further. So, you know, the more we release the fear, the easier it becomes. And it's not an undoable thing. It's very, very doable. And I'll be putting up some videos on the web about how to release it. But in the meantime, there are two very powerful techniques available. One is emotional freedom technique, EFT. And, you know, you can Google that, or you can go to YouTube and just put in EFT, and there'll be lots and lots of videos on that subject. And it's just simple, and it's fun. And it works with, you know, bringing to conscious awareness the subject that you need to work on, and then just releasing it from the body with acupressure points, tapping on them, which, you know, are, they help release the tension in the body. And then the other technique that I remembered recently is the Sedona method. And it's just a simple technique, too. It's a few little sentences, you know, questions like, where do you feel this in your body? And are you willing to let it go? And when will you let it go? And why not now? And then there's Byron Katie, who has a website called thework.org. And it contains also some very simple questions that help people work through fear. So I think that, you know, those are three very powerful tools, and maybe Rich will put them up on the web.
Yeah, sure.
And I'll be glad to send them to you.
It seems
but they'll also be on my blog at therapeofinnocence.com and also at reallyhealing.com. Those two things, they already contain those links. Okay, Rich, take it away.
No, I was just going to say it would go a long way in terms of circumcision. It would go a long way if, you know, if medicine could admit their mistake, you know, and like apologize. But of course, that does imply legal liability. So it's possible that there's no way to resolve this without some kind of immunity, some kind of legal shield for medicine.
Yeah. Either one of two things, either immunity or just round up everybody in the whole country because everybody's made mistakes. You know, all of us have made mistakes. So I think that the best thing is for everyone to learn this thing called forgiveness. And when you release fear, then you start learning how to do that. Oh, another technique that's very powerful is called Ho'oponopono, O-P-O-N-O-N-O or something like that. I'll put that up on my website, too. Actually, there's also a video that I made on YouTube. It's called How to Forgive. And so that's a very, you know, that's another tool that's very powerful. But, yeah, I think that immunity would help speed the admission from the medical society that, yeah, we blew it, we made a mistake, and also the mistakes that they make in all of obstetrics. Obstetrics is just a really horrifying study. I'm working on another book right now detailing what happens to a mother and a child in the hospital. And, you know, that they need to admit their mistakes and end it, because what they do right now, they say, oh, well, if deaths are increasing because of cesarean sections, then I think we need to do more cesarean sections, you know, which just does not make sense.
Well, you can see how afraid our world leaders are by how much they want to reduce the size of the human race. Kissinger once said that 50% of the human race should be eliminated, and now Ted Turner is going out on the air saying 95% of the human race should be eliminated.
95?
And there's a number of other well-known leaders who have parroted it all under the guise of environmentalism, but it's an indication of how afraid they are of other human beings, that they want to reduce the size of the human race to a controllable level.
But of course they want to judge people's worth on the basis of their wealth, which is a very convenient idea for them.
Yeah, I don't think Ted Turner wants to get rid of 95% of the billionaires. Which might actually do some good.
Yes, that would actually have more of an environmental impact than you know, an equivalent number of regular folks, that's for sure.
I think a lot of it also shows a great deal of lack of trust, because, you know, if people trusted that they could teach their children to clean their penises, you know, like they do under their fingernails, then they wouldn't feel like they'd have to cut them to be able to clean, you know, so the child would be clean.
But it's
and
actually...
If they,
go ahead.
Well, if they trusted them to be able to train their children to think in ways that were not sexually provocative and titillating, so they wouldn't be feel compelled to indulge in unsafe activities, you know. And if they could trust that they could maybe lead the world into living more simply and more frugally on the planet, you know, like it takes, I can't remember what the percentage is, but it's like very, very small percentage of land that it takes to support a vegetarian as compared to a meat eater. So, you know, we could support a whole lot of people on this planet. We don't have to kill them off.
Well, you know, a lot of people don't think that there is a eugenics paradigm reigning in elite circles in this world, but all you need to do, ask yourself whether you think there are too many people in this world. And I bet probably most of the listening audience would say, yes, there's too many people in this world. Personally, I don't think that we know the answer to that question. We don't know what the carrying capacity would be of this planet if we were, say, all eating good vegetarian diets, and because our economy is so pathologically destructive, needlessly so, it's just unbelievably wasteful, that we really don't know the answer to that question. But the elites, of course, want to maintain the current status quo power structure, and so based on that presumption, they have decided, in fact, that there is too many people in the world, and there are eugenics campaigns happening right now. And I've actually compiled a list of international health campaigns being conducted around the world that are resulting in sterilizations and deaths by disease. That I want to cover in a future show. There really is no question that there are very powerful international organizations that are interested in murdering mass numbers of people.
Right.
And it turns out that we have a phone call. Can we take this call? You want to take this call?
Yeah.
Okay.
Great.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, are you willing to take a comment?
Yes, please.
Well, all right, I have two. The first one is, Ted Turner is absolutely right. This species is a plague on the planet, and reducing our population by 99% would be a damn good idea. But unfortunately, it's hard to hope for a useful selection. My preference would be a virus that only killed greedy people, but it's not likely to happen. But in fact, the planet would be better off with far fewer humans, and there's no doubt in my mind about that. But I have a bigger concern, and that is your appalling logic. I happen to agree with you about circumcision. I happen to agree with you about cesarean sections and a whole lot of other topics that you prate on about endlessly. But today, you just lost me with your semantic pseudo-logic, saying that that circumcision reduces sensation and that equals sensory deprivation and that equals torture. That's insane. That's just using words to drive phony syllogisms, and it just makes you totally lose credibility with me and pretty much any smart person who's listening. So I wish you'd, you know, think about developing your arguments a little more rationally.
Sir?
Yeah,
I've done a lot of research into circumcision.
Yeah, well, spell it out then. Don't just don't just say word one equals word two equals word three and expect us to buy it. That's bullshit.
Please don't say that on the air. I have,
that's a good idea.
I have made reference repeatedly on this show to our blog, thoughtcrimeradio.blogspot.
Yeah, well, I'm not watching my computer. I'm not listening to your blog. I'm just listening to you while I drive my car.
Okay.
And, like, I've heard a lot of your arguments, and I don't disagree with a lot of them.
Okay, well,
but
when you say something
like that, you just drive me crazy.
Okay, let me back this up, okay? Foreskin contains a anatomical...
Yeah, I know all that. I'm just talking about your logic. You know, sensory deprivation means you're deprived of all your sensations, not just sexual sensation.
No, that's not what it means.
Yes, it does. Well, in the sense of its equivalency to torture that you use there, that's exactly what it means.
No.
Well, all right.
I'm sorry,
I'm not going to engage in a long colloquy with you. I'm sure you have a program to continue, but I just think that this kind of semantic pseudo-logic is just, it turns off anybody who's halfway listening. And that's a real mistake.
Mm-hmm.
It weakens your credibility across the board.
Well,
it is good to explain a lot better than that.
Yeah, so, exactly so. Have a good day.
So, yeah, don't go away.
He's gone.
He's still on the radio. But, yeah, it would be great to hear more of a development of that whole logic.
One thing you discover is men who have been circumcised get really angry when they first find out about this issue, and that's part of the process. Anger is the first you're in denial, then you're in anger, and you have to go through that before you get to acceptance. And this is a perfect example of someone coming out of denial into anger. He's probably been circumcised and doesn't realize that he's lost something important, and so anger is covering up the...
It sounds like he does understand that the foreskin contains erogenous sensory nerves. That's more than many people are willing to admit. But then he defines sensory deprivation as global sensory deprivation. I'm not using that definition, obviously. I'm using a more specific definition, which is, I think, circumcision obstructs interpersonal, emotional, spiritual connections between...
You can't really address anger with logic. I mean, he's claiming it's about logic, but obviously he's angry, and anger doesn't respond to logic, and he should be angry. I mean, it's a reasonable response when you first begin to realize that you've lost something, that you get angry. His anger is right. It's just like all anger directed in the wrong way.
Well, in what sense is specific sensory deprivation a form of torture? It seems to me this is not like cutting off someone's arm or cutting out their eyeballs or something. This is a much deeper wound. This gets into your emotional makeup and your sense of who you are inside, and I think that level of injury comes much closer to torture than, say, cutting out somebody's eyeballs in some sense. I mean, obviously, the eyeballs are a very precious sensory input, but
I think the act of circumcision is an act of torturing.
Well, yeah, obviously, but I mean, in the long,
the loss of sensation is also deprivation,
yeah.
Sense deprivation. So the two together, what would you call that? It is torture and sensory deprivation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking on Wikipedia here under sensory deprivation, and it talks about, total isolation. And it has a sensory deprivation chamber and things like that. But, I can understand what you're saying, that it does deprive you of things that you need to be able to bond with people and to be able to comfort yourself and to just be able to feel good and relaxed in your body. So we're getting really close to the end of the show.
It's unfortunate.
And I'd like to tie this up, but maybe we can just carry it on next week if we don't.
Yeah, okay. Well, caller, thanks for calling in. And, I don't mean to be play loose with the facts here. Let's try to develop this more in the future. Anyway, it is the end of the show, and the tech guys are here somewhere, I'm sure. So.